Right. Today, as we get into the word, man, I feel like God gave me this fresh word that as I was studying for it, God is just amazing, right? What he does for us, how he loves us, the way that he speaks to us through the word is so good. And so as I was studying for this, I came to this point where I thought, is this as good as life gets, right, as a Christian? All right, if you're in this place and you're saved, you've given your life to Jesus already, do you think this is as good as it gets? Anybody? No? You don't think this is quite as good as it gets? Who believes that God has something greater for you than what you're experiencing in life right now? I hope that's all of us, and I really believe that, and I believe that God always has more for us. It's like God has upgrades upon upgrades on our lives when we come to the Lord. And I thought about, there's been times where I've gone to a hotel, and you get there to check in, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Caraway, we actually don't have that room. And for a second, you think about, like, blowing your top. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I paid for this. But they're like, but don't worry, we are going to give you the suite for free, for no extra charge. And you're like, yes, I love that you don't have my room. See, I got a free upgrade. I didn't get what I thought I was getting, but I got there and I found out I had a little bit more. I've heard people say this about Walmart grocery pickup. We haven't done that ourselves yet, but it's like you order one thing, and if they don't have it, they'll give you the name brand or the bigger size, no extra charge, and you get it, and you're like, yes, that's exactly what I needed. Like, I need to order a bottle of ranch and hope that they're out so they give us a 5-gallon bucket. That will get my son through like 2 weeks of eating ranch. That would be great. But we like when we get things that are better than what we deserve or better than what we feel like we're getting. And so when we think about the Israelites, I want to take you back to the book of Deuteronomy this morning. And the Israelites wandered the desert. They wandered the wilderness for 30 or 40 years. And as they did this, what you may not think about as you're reading them wandering around is they were clinging to a promise, right? They wandered and wandered. They kept moving and kept circling because they were motivated by something, all right? Because if they weren't motivated, they would have just sat down and said, whatever, we're not moving until something happens. But they were motivated to keep moving because they were motivated by a promise. See, God gave them a promise for a better land. God gave them this promise, and in fact, He gave it to him through Abraham, and this was over 500 years before they're wandering in the wilderness. So a 500-year-old promise, and they wander 40 years motivated by this promise. Can you imagine that, church? Can you imagine wandering for 40 years clinging to a promise that was already 500 years old? It kind of seems like what we're doing right now, doesn't it? When you think about the people that are saying, well, when is Jesus coming? He's been saying that for 2,000 years that he's coming back. You're clinging to that promise? I mean, you've been clinging to that your whole life, the generation before you and before you, before them and before them. Everybody's clinging to the same promise. See, we're actually kind of in the same boat that the Israelites were in there. We're clinging to a promise. But I want to tell you, they were motivated to keep moving because of this promise, even in the midst of their struggles. And so I think a lot of us can relate to this in this room right now, because I believe that this promise here is not just something about physical land that they were going to inhabit, right? This is about the promised land. And I believe that the picture of the promised land is actually, it was a real thing. It's a real land. These were real people that really wandered, that really crossed the Jordan. They really went into the promised land, but I believe it is a physical picture of a spiritual place that we find ourselves right now today. So if you don't know this, everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. Can I get an amen? It's about Jesus. It all points us to him. It's all good. We need to keep it. We don't need to get rid of it. But these stories here, while they're true, while they happened, they often show us a picture of something that is to come or something in our spiritual life. So today, we're going to look at not just what it takes to get to a better land, but how to fight for and contend to keep that better land. So Deuteronomy chapter 11, we're going to pick up here in verse 8, and it says, therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong, and that you will go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's this promise. Right? This is the promise they're clinging to, and God gives them this reminder that I promised this to your fathers. This is an old promise, but he starts here with this better land is going to stem from one thing that you have to do. If you want the better land, there's a beginning point to this. Somewhere you got to start, and it starts with obedience. Say obedience. Obedience is so important for a believer. He tells us if we keep his commandments, that we will be strong. Who wants to be strong? I like to be strong. It's one of the best things about being a dad is being strong. Like when you're wrestling with your kids, right? Especially your boys that will never, ever their entire life be able to beat you. It's a fact. My son is not here today. I can challenge him on that. Hopefully you're watching. I will take you down. Not you, Wyatt. Xander, if you're watching today. I'll take you down too because you're his son. Right? We like to be strong. People like to be strong. And he tells us this. He says, you'll be strong, but you're not going to get to that better land without being strong. And you're not going to be strong without being obedient to the Lord because strength comes from obedience. So obedience is simply this. Obedience is submission to authority. Submission to authority actually makes us strong. When you submit to authority, you come under their protection. You come under their covering. You come under their provision. So now you have strength or power that you would not otherwise have. You have an extra layer above you that sees over you. And when God oversees us, when God is our covering, guys, we have an extra layer of strength that we cannot have on our own. It's not possible to have it on your own. And this is what God wants for us. He wants to get us in this position to be able to possess the land. But not only that, it says that if we keep his commandments, that it will prolong our days in the land. So strength from obedience to Christ is what will get you there, but what will keep you advancing in the land? We got to know that this isn't any old land. This is truly a better land that God speaks of. He says it's a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm like, I can really think of a couple of things that I would rather have, right? I mean, anybody think of a couple things you would, like, I mean, give me a land flowing with, you know, Coke and ranch or something, you know, like, why milk and honey? Why is this? And so when you study this out, it says that there will be an abundance, right? More than enough, there's going to be an overload of this milk and honey. And so if you're not sure what that means, milk and honey, if in the old land, before they enter the promised land, these were things they had to work hard for. These are things that they had to cultivate the land. They had to make sure things were prepared and were just right. But when you have fertile land, milk and honey flow, right? Because now you got all this field for the goats to eat. So you can, they probably drank mostly goat milk back then. Sorry if that it doesn't sound appealing to you, but that's what we were flowing with, goat milk, right? But it was flowing with goat milk. It means that it was easy to shepherd the goats. It was easy to raise the goats for them to be healthy and grow. Why? Because God had made the land fertile. When we think about the honey was flowing. Some believe that this was not referring to what we call honey, but actually fruit nectar from date palms. And if that was the case, or if it was honey from actual bees, doesn't matter. Same thing. There had to be good, lively vegetation, good soil, good rain, good sun. All this stuff had to be just right for that to flow and be an overabundance. And so God promises this land that the people are going to enter will be extremely abundant and fertile. That's a land that produces. Listen, if you're going to go to the place that God wants you to go, you want to go to a land that produces. Amen? You don't want to go to a dead, dry, deserted land. This promised land was a physical place that was promised, but it is a picture of a spiritual place for us today, a better land. My absolute favorite verse in the Bible, John 10:10. The enemy does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have life more abundantly. Okay? More abundantly. See, that's beyond the point of salvation, but that is a better land, right? This isn't just what we have, not just salvation in Christ, but more than that, a better land. We get obedient to Christ, it makes us strong, but then we go in and we possess the land that he's given us. We possess the land that he has given us. Now, I am going to, in the words of our White House press secretary, I'm going to circle back to that. Except I can promise you that I actually am going to come back to it. I'm not going to leave you hanging there. So just keep that for just a moment here, that we are strong in Jesus, but then we have to go in and we have to possess the land he has given us. You got to realize you need a better land, and to realize that, you got to remember where you came from. And so the Lord takes them there in verse 10. He says, "For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you come, where you sowed your seed and you watered by foot as a vegetable garden." See, Egypt was a place of bondage. Egypt was a place of hard labor. And God says, this land that I have for you guys, it's not like the land I took you out of, right? It's not going to be bondage. It's not going to be hard labor. It's going to be freedom, and it's going to be flowing with blessing and flowing in abundance. He says, this place that you came from, this Egypt, right? You had to water by foot. I don't know if you realize this, but when they watered things in Egypt, we read about how Pharaoh made them work so hard. And listen, he actually treated them pretty good as far as food. They had everything they wanted to eat, but he made them work hard, right? And they had to water by foot. They had to carry water, right, from the Nile River to whatever they were watering, or they had a foot pump that would pump water somewhere. But either way, they're working hard, right, just to get some water going. It's hard manual labor, because in Egypt the rain did not water the crop. They did it all by foot, hard work, right? Egypt represents the world for us, this place that Jesus has brought us out of. Amen, right? You are in the world but not of the world, right? This place is not your home. Right, we belong in heaven. We have an inheritance in heaven, and so Jesus brought us out of the world. And so it's not who you are. If you are in Christ, you don't belong to Egypt anymore. You don't belong to the world. But we do need to remember how hard life is without Christ. We got to remember how much we had to work to gain so little without Christ. Anybody testify to that? How hard you worked to build an earthly kingdom without Jesus, and how little in retrospect you realize that you actually had, right? And so you got to remember this. You got to remember that you were in bondage to sin. Anybody remember those days? Bondage and sin. Like, you couldn't help but sin. It's all you knew. Praise God that Jesus sets us free from sin. Amen. He doesn't leave us there. We're not bound by it anymore. We don't have to bow to it. It doesn't rule our lives. We're not bound to our past, to our mistakes, and we carried all that by ourselves when we were of the world, and it was hard. It was difficult, but that's not who you are in Christ, and it's certainly not where you're going. It's just a reminder. So moving on, he tells us in verse 11, "But the land which you cross over to possess, and it's a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year." See, God's giving them a new land. He's giving them a land that they no longer have to water by foot. It's not like the old land. This is different. This land is going to be watered by the rain. God's going to provide the water for this land. So in other words, when you think about this new land, would not be sustained by labor like the old land. It's going to be sustained by blessing in the new land. God is going to provide more than enough, overabundance. Praise God. Now listen, don't misunderstand this point here. Salvation is a free gift. I don't want you to think that you got to work hard for that. Salvation's a free gift. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Amen? Right? Only By grace, you can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. You will be saved, right? Can't earn it. You don't work for it. But this land that he's given you, there's work to be done. You guys realize that there was work for Adam to do in the garden before sin? You guys realize that? You realize that he had the job of managing the garden? That he had to actually do things physically in the garden? There was work for him to do, okay, in the Garden of Eden, this place that was perfect. And when life was out without sin, he still had work to do. But listen, it wasn't hard work. You know that he didn't get a stiff back after work. And listen, if I go outside and I work, I might be a little better now because I've been walking and stuff. But if I go outside and like bend down for a little bit and pull some weeds or work, like my body won't operate function like the way it should for like weeks. I have like a sore leg, a little bit in my back and in my neck, and like it gets you messed up. See, Adam didn't have to deal with that stuff before sin. Not only was there not sin to bring the fall upon his body, but he also didn't have to work hard because there had not yet been sin. He still had to work, just not hard. I had this thought a few weeks back, or a couple months ago. I told a few of you guys this, but we got this carport put in over here by the parsonage, and it's great. We had to move the rock around. We had to kind of get it level and get things right. And after they installed it, I was on a friend's tractor. And I'm moving this rock around, just trying to get it the way that I like it. And I'm like, dude, this is fun, right? I mean, if you've ever rode a tractor, it's fun. And I don't remember if I've shared this before. If I haven't, somebody probably hasn't heard it. But it was fun. And I told God, I verbally said to the Lord, I said, Lord, every man deserves a tractor. Every man deserves a tractor, and I believe it, right? And I'm just driving along, just, you know, having a great time on this tractor. And I felt the Lord respond to me, and he said, no, only the man who's willing to use a shovel deserves a tractor. Only the man who's willing to use a shovel. Praise God, I used a shovel before I got on the tractor. So I wasn't disqualified. I'm still waiting for my tractor, but I believe in that statement. See, there's a lot of truth in that. It's good because what he was saying, that if you're not willing to do hard work, you don't deserve the blessing of the easy work, right? And so what we have to put in our work. And so, church, this is a spiritual place that God has for us, this better land. It's a place that Jesus cares for us. It says that his eyes are always on it. The hills and the valley drink the rain from heaven. Okay, this place where he provides the rain, a better land that's sustained by blessing. And I want to look at that for just a moment, this rain that is blessing. Many times in the Bible, the word uses rain to symbolize the Holy Spirit. Notice it said, the rain from heaven will roll down the hills and will provide what is needed for the land. The rain from heaven. I believe this is speaking of the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus, do you guys know where Jesus is right now, right? He's in a physical body, seated in heaven on a throne at the right hand of the Father. That's where he's physically there, okay? He's not here, okay? The Holy Spirit is here. He said, I'm gonna depart so I can send who? The helper, right? The counselor to you for your benefit, for your good. And he sent him to us. He is the blessing. The Holy Spirit is the blessing, okay? And so Jesus didn't say, okay, disciples, you saw what I did. Now go do it on your own and good luck. He didn't say go do it in your own power. What he actually said was, okay, you saw what I did. Now go and do it, but first I want you to go and wait, right? He told him, first I want you to go and wait. You're going to go and wait for the blessing. You're going to go and wait for the promise, right? The promise, something that you hold on to, that you wait until you see God fulfill it. He says, I'm going to send a promise to you. He left us with his word to obey, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome and enter into a better land. Going on, it says that it shall be that you earnestly obey my commands, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, okay? Serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, and then I will give you the rain for your land in its season. I'll give you the early rain. I'll give you the latter rain that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, your oil. I'll send the grass in your fields to your livestock that they may eat and be filled. Okay, so he goes on a little bit of a teaching here. The Lord does. Like, listen, man, there's so much teaching in the book of Deuteronomy where God is speaking through Moses to the Israelites that is so applicable to us today. It's such good stuff. I encourage you to read through that. But he tells them here, he's like, okay, obey God, right? Obey him, and then you love him, and then you serve him, and it says, and then, okay? Obey him, love him, serve him, and then something else is going to happen. He will give you the rain for your land in its season. Say, in its season. Okay, this is important here. We will have the Spirit of God for this season, for this period of life that we are living in. The Holy Spirit is the helper. The Holy Spirit is the blessing. And God speaks of the early rain and he speaks of the latter rain. He talks about the indwelling of the Spirit and he talks about the outpouring of the Spirit, which are two different, distinct things. And most Christians, what we see in America right now is Christians are wandering the desert. We're saved, right? When they were wandering the desert, you know, they were saved. They were with God. They were wandering and following where they thought they were supposed to go. But see, they're walking in circles. Why? Because they did not yet have the power to possess the promised land. They didn't have the power to enter the better land yet. God has more for you. I believe that with all my heart. God has more for you than what you're experiencing in your life today. Listen, in this church, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the power of God upon our lives. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, he gives us this power. He gives the power to enter in instead of just wandering around and holding on to a promise. He gives us the power to actually act upon the promises of God, to do what he's called us to do instead of just wondering, will this ever be fulfilled? Just wondering, one day, someday, surely something's going to change. No, he gives us the power to act upon the promises of God. Because listen, when we're just in that place of wondering, we're not strong. That's not a place where we're strong. And he goes on to tell us, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived. And you turn aside and you serve other gods and worship them, but lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you and he shuts up the heavens so that there be no rain. And the land yield no produce so that you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. See, what he's talking about here is he's saying that if we get to that point where our hearts are deceived. We get to that point where we've turned away from the things of God and pursuing him and the Spirit of God moving in our lives. If we move away from that and we just come to a place where we're just wandering and wondering and just hoping one day maybe something, and that's all we're doing, he's saying that he will shut up the heavens and we're not going to see the rain. We're not going to see the Spirit move in the way that it ought to be moving. And I believe that's what we see in the United States of America right now. We've seen the heavens shut up for a little bit. We've seen God withhold the rain, saying, I'm not going to move in power in the way that I need to, that you need me to, because maybe you're just wondering and wandering and you're not tapping into the power that I've actually given you. And I'm gonna lead you through this here in just a moment. Listen, we can't ever think that we've fully arrived as Christians. Like, this is it. I'm doing my thing. I read the Bible. I pray. I come to church. I live my life. But it's the same old, right? I have to be sick. I have to be poor. I have to be, you know, go through this and that. All of our things that we're dealing with in life. I just got to deal with it, right? It's just part of life. Listen, I believe that it is part of life, but I also believe that we can do something about it. I believe we can do something about it. Man, if Christianity is just about getting saved and wandering around hurt and broken and struggling for the rest of our lives, hoping that someday, maybe I'll die and then I'll be healed. Maybe I'll die and then I'll be rich in heaven. Maybe I'll die and then all of the things that I'm dealing with, they'll be gone and they go away. Or we cling to the fact that I just got to suffer for just a while longer, and one day Jesus is going to come back. If that's all our hope is, listen, church, if that's it, then that faith stinks. I'm just telling you, it stinks. Because I don't think that God made us to live a life full of struggle with just hope that maybe at the end of our life, then it'll finally be better. I don't believe that that's good enough. I don't believe that our God is that small, and I don't believe that he thinks that little of us. I believe that he wants us to have a great, full, abundant, overcoming, victorious life in Jesus Christ. Amen? I believe that's what he has for us. And so we can enter into the land spiritually today. As a child of God, listen, we have to know that we have been given dominion over this world. Amen? You have been given dominion. Listen, you are in charge of this world. You are. Me, I am. Okay, we've been given dominion. Jesus took back what Adam gave the enemy. Right? He took back the rightful ownership. He took it back when Adam sinned in the garden. Adam had been told to rule and reign over everything that God created. And this is what it looks like to enter into the promised land in the power and the Spirit of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 2 says, God is telling Joshua, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land that I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. See, you can have power and authority every place that your foot treads. Every place that your foot goes. Everywhere your foot touches, everywhere you walk, everywhere you go, you can have power and authority because it's been given to you through Jesus Christ. Amen? It's been given to you. This is the abundant life, church. This is it right here, that God's given you every place you set your foot. That's a promise. It's in the Word of God. And what you've got to remember is that a promise for Israel is a promise for us today because we've been grafted in. We've been adopted as sons and daughters, okay? So we have this promise that wherever you go, wherever your footsteps, you can have it. It can be yours. You can rule. You can be in dominion in that area. But listen, this is where we fall short. You still have the responsibility to take the steps. You still have the responsibility to move your feet, to go, to take the steps, to do what you have to do. Listen, you walk in faith and take what was given to you. We have to walk in faith and take what is given to us. Psalm 119, for your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word. Listen, the power of the Holy Spirit was given. I don't have the quote on me right now. If you look on my Facebook, I put it. But Maria Woodsworth Etter, which is amazing, awesome woman of God from the 1900s, she said that the power of God was given to the apostles in their day, and it was never taken from the church, and that we should receive any way, any power of the Holy Spirit that is in alignment with the Word of God. Any way that the Spirit moves, as long as it's in alignment with the Word of God. Church, we need that for today. Listen, there is more for you in Christ Jesus. Amen? I want to show you this last verse here. Joshua 13, verse 1. It says, now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old. Wouldn't that be nice? You're in prayer, and the first thing, Dustin, like two more years, man. You're getting close. He'd be like, Lord, hi, I'm listening. He'd be like, dude, you're old, right? That's where we're starting this out is you're old. Now that we got that off and going, let's continue on with the real message. Now that you know you're old, you're advanced in years. But he tells him something really important here. He says there remains very much land yet to be possessed. This is so important, church. He tells Joshua, listen, they're already in the promised land. You need to know this. They're already there. They've already crossed the Jordan. They've already entered in. They've already divided up land. And God tells them, as Joshua, their leader, is getting old, he says, man, Joshua, you're old, but there's a lot of land left to possess. Right? What is he talking about? There's more land promised to you. There's more that you can have. And what you got to know here is that when they have this land that they can possess, that he says, you've got to go. You've got to move. You've got to claim it. You've got to go and fight for it. See, I think that when we hear that God promises something, we believe that it's going to be easy to obtain. Anybody ever been in that boat before? When God promises something, I feel like that should be really easy, right? It should be easy for me to obtain. God promised it. I'm just going to say it and have it, right? And that's it. Do you know that if you read through the beginning, the first 12 chapters here of Joshua, do you know that the Lord keeps sending them out into battle? Right? He's like, here's your starter land. Okay, now go and go to that land and fight and beat those people, and then you can have that land. And then go over there and fight those people, and when you beat them, you can have that land. And see, all this was part of God's promise. See, God promised them the land, but they still had to go and contend for it. It wasn't just step across the Jordan. If you have the guts to step across the dry ground that I made for you in the Jordan, then you can have all this beautiful land. He said, no, I'll give you a starter patch, and then you fight for the rest of what's yours. But I'll go before you. See, that's the key, is God always went before them, and the enemy was defeated before they got there. Does that sound familiar, church? The enemy's already defeated before you show up to battle. And that's a picture of our spiritual life right now. God says there's more for you to be had for you in Christ Jesus, but you got to go and fight for it. But listen, Jesus already went before you, and he already defeated the enemy. See, he's already crushed the head of the enemy. All you've got to do is show up and fight and win the battle. Church, they already had the milk and honey. They already had this beautiful land. Listen, this is where we're at as Christians. We already got the milk and honey, right? We already got the Savior who died and rose again. We got the promise of everlasting life in heaven with him. We've got that promise. It says the Holy Spirit is the seal of that promise. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us and moves in us, that's the seal, the guarantee of that promise. We have the milk and honey, but guys, there's so much more that we can have in Christ. I'm tired of seeing bound, beat up, beat down Christians. We're supposed to be victorious. Jesus gave us the victory over hell, death, and the grave. And he said the enemy, what? He came not for anything else, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who? You. To kill you, steal from you, destroy you. But Jesus came that we could have life and life more abundantly. Listen, are we going to be content with what we have? I'm not. I'm not content with what we have. I'm not content with the spiritual walk that I have right now. I want more. I can't be content. There's so much more that God has for us. Are we willing to take that step? That step to claim what is ours? I don't know what that means for your life this morning. If you would stand to your feet as we close. Listen, only you know what those needs are in your life. But I want to tell you that if you will claim everything that your foot is touching, the word tells us that it's yours. It tells us that if we enter into this better land, that we can keep fighting for more. And so as I was studying for this, I thought about the fact that as Christians, we deal with sickness and disease. And listen, I'm not an anti-doctor kind of person. Most of my family works in the medical field. I'm just telling you that we have access to the great physician in heaven. I'm telling you that he can do things that no doctor can do. And I believe that if you need healing in your body today, I believe Jesus can provide it for you. Amen? Listen, I believe that if you've been struggling in your mind, with your thoughts, struggling with image issues, self-conscious, all these things, I believe that Jesus can heal you from those things today. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that if you are a good, solid Christian, but you want to be more than that, I believe that the Holy Spirit is here and is willing to touch you and set you on fire today. Listen, I believe that with all my heart. Listen, I'm just telling you. You read through the book of Acts. That's your homework for the week. It's only 28 chapters, 4 chapters a day. Read through the book of Acts. Just, you don't even have to go all the way through. Read the first couple chapters, and you think about Peter in the resurrection and just before and where he was at, and then you look at what happens to him after the day of Pentecost. Listen, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, there is nothing that you cannot do. Right? Peter, who is a bumbling goober, made all these mistakes. He ended up preaching to some of the biggest crowds and seeing some of the biggest groups of people saved that we've ever seen in our lifetime. Because that's what happens when the Spirit of the living God comes upon you. And so this morning, as we close, I want to give an invitation. If you have a specific need in your body, in your mind, if you need to be saved, listen, you guys got to know that we are a no-judgment church. We stop the live stream right as soon as I get done here. We're a no-judgment church. People are not going to be thinking, oh, yeah, why are they going up front? People, we're not like that. It's hallelujah. Hope they're going to get what they need. They're going to get a touch from the King of Kings this morning. And so whatever your need is, whatever your hurt, your pain, listen, I'm believing for that this morning. We can pray for it and see God move. I'm believing that if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, listen, there's no power that I have, but I'll tell you what, I can pray for you and I can believe that God moves. Right? Paul said to Timothy to stir up the giftings that have been in you from the laying on of hands, that have been imparted into you. That's why we pray for people and we lay hands on people. We believe that God moves through that. And so this morning, Father, we just thank you and praise you for your goodness. We thank you for your word, for this promise for a better land. God, that you tell us, Lord, that wherever we set our feet, that we can have it. Lord, you tell us that you have this rain that you provide, that it goes on the mountains, it goes into the valleys, it floods into the fields. What it does is it makes that land a land that can flourish. A land that can produce, a land that can prosper. And it's such a perfect, beautiful image of the soul of a man. That when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and it rolls down on us and the power of God dwells within us, it brings us to that place where we can produce amazing things for the name of Jesus. That we can be fruitful, that we can be someone that will produce an abundance for your glory, just what we've been singing about today. It's all about you, Lord. We want to be close to you. Draw us close to your heart this morning. And I just pray for all who have a need in this place, Lord, that today you'd put it on their heart. Give us a conviction. Compel us to move, to take a step, to grab for what is ours, what you have given us. Lord, today we can have victory over whatever it is that ails us, whatever it is that weighs us down. Lord, that you've gone before us. You've defeated the enemy. It's time for us to step into the land and claim what you've rightfully given to your children. We thank you, Lord, for the inheritance that you've given us. We praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.